We learn the sanctification or holiness step by step. First, by the word of God. The second was by faith. The third was blood of Jesus. Fourth was with the water. So we learned these four steps up to now. Today we are going to learn the part five. Now you might have guessed it. If you didn't guess it, I'll tell you. The Holy Spirit also plays part of sanctification. So we are going to learn about Holy Spirit. When you say Holy Spirit itself, we can understand we talk about holiness. And the Holy Spirit you will never get if you are a sinner. You can receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior when you are a sinner. But the Holy Spirit doesn't come to sinner, because Holy Spirit comes to the holy vessel. And the holy vessel, how we get it? Washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Word, faith, and the blood, and the water baptism. These are the steps should be taken to receive the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit will not come in unclean vessel. Then somebody says, why we need the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit has also cleansing, sanctifying power. The Holy Spirit comes in a holy vessel, clean vessel, and keeps it clean. Now, about the Holy Spirit, in the Old Testament, is very little study is given. Moses or Elijah or any other, they didn't know more about Holy Spirit. They never talked about it. They never taught about it. Only they knew they received the Holy Spirit. But that time, what kind of Holy Spirit they have, nobody knew. Only after the day of Pentecost, Peter got the revelation. And Peter starts saying, all the Old Testament saints, what they received the Spirit of Christ. And when they received the Spirit of Christ, means Spirit of Christ and Spirit of God, always together. So in the Old Testament, wherever you read, they say they received the Spirit of the Lord, or Spirit of God. The Lord is called Jesus Christ. God is called God the Father. Okay, so I'm not going in detail study right now about Holy Spirit. I'm just saying there is no much teaching was given to any other prophets. And the last Old Testament prophet is what? John the Baptist. John the Baptist is the first one to introduce the immersion baptism for everyone. And he's the one introduced the Holy Spirit. And he said, I'm not the one going to give it to you, but the Jesus Christ will give it. Let's read in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11.
I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire.
Okay, now this is the John the Baptist, first time telling the audience, Jesus Christ is, he's before me, but he's coming after me, and he's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. We are going to learn that later on, but here, John the Baptist was talking about immersion baptism as well as the Holy Spirit. Then Jesus Christ taught so much about the Holy Spirit in the John's Gospel. Let's read John's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 16.
And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever.
Okay. He may abide with you forever. So when the God gives you Holy Spirit, he gives it to you forever. Now people take advantage of this, and they said, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit forever. Only forever, as long as you stay a Christian, as long as you stay born again, as long as you stay in the blood of Jesus Christ. If somebody receives the Holy Spirit and become a Muslim or go back and become a Hindu, Holy Spirit is not going to stay with him or committing sin. Because the word of God says, do not quench the Spirit of God. You cannot live in sin and still be in the Holy Spirit. And some people already speaking in tongue, and even this after sin they start speaking in tongue. That doesn't mean this comes from here, then doesn't come out of your belly. And so the God's Holy Spirit, or the third person of Trinity, Holy Spirit, will abide with us forever. That is the promise of God. Okay, verse 26, same chapter, John 14:26.
But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance.
Okay, now two things the Holy Spirit will come, he said. He will teach you all things. When he said all things, what all things? Whatever Jesus Christ taught him. He can teach you about holiness. He can teach you about living holy life. He'll teach about everything about God the Father, God the Son. Everything he can teach you. And then the second part, he says, and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I said unto you. Now this is very important. The Holy Spirit will not misguide you. Because the Holy Spirit is called the truth. And the Holy Spirit will speak the truth, and he will speak only what Christ taught you, and he will remind you what he said. Now, this is important what I'm trying to say. There are people called only Jesus. They have another name, apostolic. Now, they preach Christ only. They baptize you in the Christ name, Jesus name only. And when I sat with one of the founders, one of the leaders, and I sat with them and say, why do you baptize in Jesus' name? When Jesus gave the commandment, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, they said, because Holy Spirit told one of our leader, now Holy Spirit is God, and all the Godhead is built in Christ. So when you say Christ, the Holy Spirit is in him and Father is in him. And so you just use Christ's name and everything is done. We don't need Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. If you have Christ, Father stays with him and Holy Spirit is in him. So we can baptize in Christ. I said, who told you? They said, Holy Spirit guided this, the leader who founded the apostolic church, or who founded the only Jesus church. I said, sir, read this scripture. I gave him this scripture. I said, Jesus said, whatever I taught you, Holy Spirit will tell you what I'm teaching. And he will remind you whatever I taught you. If Jesus taught the disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, how come Holy Spirit tell you, no, don't listen to Jesus, listen to me. So these words can prove to them they are wrong. And they should not be doing this, because Holy Spirit will not say different thing. Okay, John chapter 15, verse 26.
But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me.
Now what Holy Spirit will do? Testify of me. That means when you're testifying about somebody, what does it mean? You're going to say what this person is all about. And so he's saying, he, Jesus, is the Son of God. He taught us this, and he is a Holy One, and he is the Savior, he is the Redeemer. Everything, whatever Jesus did, Holy Spirit can testify. Telling us about Jesus Christ. And verse 27 is talking about the church. We should be doing the same. Read the verse 27.
And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning.
Okay. Now he said, Holy Spirit is coming here to witness about the Son, about the Christ. And when Holy Spirit comes upon you and you receive it, then you're going to be my witnesses. So the simple is, when you say, we are the witnesses of Christ, and if you don't live a clean and holy life, what we say? You are not a good witness, right? You are not a good witness means your life is filthy. Your life is not right. So God cannot use unholy person to witness about him. There is a scripture, he says, the sinner, he has no authority to preach or teach or do anything. Because God cannot use unholy person. You remember Isaiah said, I'm an unholy man, I cannot speak. Then God sanctified him. Put the charcoal, a burning fire, and put it on his lips. This is just a vision. But he sanctified his words. So in short, sinner cannot proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, God gives you Holy Spirit. Now here it says, Holy Spirit will come and you will be my witnesses. Now somebody say, what has to do with our life be holy? Holy Spirit can make us holy. Here is the proof that you have to be his living witness. And God cannot use unholy people to witness about him. Now, after the resurrection, this was the Jesus teaching. After the resurrection, Luke chapter 24, verse 49, he meets the two people they gave, going to Emmaus, and he start talking to them, and then he gave the last message to them. Let's read.
And behold, I send the promise of my Father unto you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high.
Now, what he's trying to say now, here is the very key word here. If somebody says, Old Testament received the same spirit, and we receive the same spirit, he says, this is the promise of my Father. This Holy Spirit was promised for the church. This was not promised for Elijah. This was not promised for John the Baptist. This was not promised for the Moses. This promised Holy Spirit was promised for the church. And we learned last week, if you don't remember, I'll give you again. John chapter 7, verse 37 to 39, he says, this promised Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus Christ was not yet glorified.
And the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified.
That's why after the resurrection, he is talking to his disciples and saying, the promised Holy Spirit is coming. And that promised Holy Spirit is a dynamic spirit. When you receive it, you will be my witness, but do not leave the city. They don't have to go anywhere. Wait there until they receive it. And he did not tell them, are you going to receive it today, tomorrow, or day after tomorrow? Didn't give the time. Just wait until you receive the Holy Spirit. And some people get mixed up with the St. John chapter 20. Jesus Christ comes and breathes on them and say, receive ye the Holy Spirit.
And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost.
Okay. Now this was when the disciples were sitting in their houses, not in upper room. And Jesus Christ comes and breathed on them and say, receive ye the Holy Spirit. Now this thing some churches took, I don't want to take their names, some churches took and they said, oh-ho. Jesus Christ breathed on them and they received the Holy Spirit. So we got the Holy Spirit. But after this, he said, then he takes to the mountain and then he tells them, do not leave the city. Let's go to the book of Acts chapter 1, verse 4 and 5.
And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me.
That was the spirit of Christ. Because when Adam was breathed, he was become a living soul. But the Adam committed sin, so Jesus has to quicken them again. So Ephesians chapter 2, he says he came and quickened them again. How did he do it? He gave them his spirit. Now, when he breathed on them, Thomas was not there. Thomas came 1 week later. And he was doubting. Jesus says, Thomas, come here. Put your hand in my palm of hand and put your hand in my side. What did he say? My Lord, my God. And he fell on the floor. So Jesus did not breathe on him. Why? Breathing means giving you the spirit of Christ. Once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you automatically have the spirit of Christ. Romans chapter 8 verse 9, it says, if someone doesn't have the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. That means he is not Christian. So, the Spirit of Christ, go ahead.
But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his.
See, the Spirit of God is dwelling in you, and the Spirit of Christ is dwelling in you. If Spirit of Christ is not dwelling in you, you are not a Christian. But this is not the third person of Trinity he is talking about. Now he is saying, wait here, because the promise of the Holy Spirit you are going to receive, and you stay in Jerusalem. Go back to the book of Acts chapter 1, verse 4 and 5.
And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me.
Okay, not a single disciple was asking Jesus, didn't you breathe on us? We already got the Holy Spirit. Why are you sending us to Jerusalem? And you say, wait for the promise. Now, what did you give it to us? They didn't ask. Why? Because they were quickened in the Spirit. They understood Jesus Christ is Lord. He is our Savior. Now he is trying to tell us, promise Holy Spirit. That's why without asking questions, they went to Jerusalem. Verse 5.
For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence.
Now here, Jesus Christ is reminding. You remember Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, we read it in the beginning. That John the Baptist says, I baptize you with water, but someone coming after me, he is before me, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. So Jesus said to his disciple, remember what John the Baptist was saying? That's the Holy Spirit I'm talking about. Amen. Not what I breathe on you. This is the promised Holy Spirit. So you better go and wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit. And he did not say it will be months and years. He says not too many days. Shortly you're going to receive.
That's right.
And so they went there to receive the Holy Spirit. Now, why they have to go there? He already told them the reason you need to receive the Holy Spirit. Let's go and read the verse 8. Same chapter, Acts 1, 8.
But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you.
Yes.
And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth.
Yes.
John chapter 15, verse 27, we already read that you will be my witnesses. But now he's making clear where are you going to be my witness. Before that, when he called in a Matthew chapter 10 and Luke chapter 10, the disciples, they were not allowed to leave the Judea. He said, go and preach the lost sheep of Israel. They were not allowed to go to China, Japan, Korea, and anywhere else. They have to stay in there. But now the commandment is changed. He said, now when you receive the Holy Spirit, you will be my witnesses, starting from Jerusalem, then Judea, then Samaria, and then uttermost part of the world. Now, this time, the gospel has to preach all over the world. Before that, Jesus never traveled out of Judea, and he did not allow his disciples to go out of Judea, because he wanted to witness to his own people first. So their blood won't come on him. And so now, he knew. It is difficult to witness to someone without the power of the Holy Spirit. So point I'm making, if you want to preach the gospel, you have to have the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. There are people going and getting saved and preaching. That's the witnessing their experience, but they cannot do dynamic work. So Jesus Christ knew that. That's what he's saying. You just wait there. Receive the Holy Spirit, and then you will be my witnesses.
Right.
You remember Peter, when Jesus Christ was arrested, and Peter followed Christ, and the one lady comes, and she said, you are one of them. He denied. How many times? He denied three times. And finally, Jesus looked at him, and he remembered what Jesus said, and he cried. So now, after Peter received the Holy Spirit, not a single place you can read in the Bible that he denied Christ, or he did not preach, or he was afraid of anybody. Nowhere. So the Holy Spirit gives you dynamic power to witness. Without the power of the Holy Spirit, it is not possible to preach the gospel. People are doing it, but that's like a dry gospel. No power in it. And so, this is the one of the reasons Jesus Christ said, and Jesus said, I taught you about the Holy Spirit a lot, but when you receive it, you will know it. Now, let's go to the Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. How the Holy Spirit cleanses us.
And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting.
Okay, now see the all the disciples, 120 people, how they were sitting? One accord and one place. So if there is no unity, unity only comes when there is no sin in your life. If you are selfish, if you have anger, if you have frustration, if you are fighting and biting, and you sitting in the meeting, you are not going to get anything. You are not going to fill with the Holy Spirit. So they have to forget everything, and they come to the unity. And someone told me the other day, they were fasting and praying because they didn't go anywhere to cook or do anything. So they were sitting and fasting and praying. So all the self was burned up. Now the vessels were ready to receive it. And so the Holy Spirit will not come, as I said earlier, unclean vessel. So they were in one mind and one accord. They had only one desire in their heart, to receive the Holy Spirit. Because he said, you go and you will receive the Holy Spirit. So they were praying. Now verse 3.
And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them.
Now here, first of all, he says, the mighty rushing wind came. Now they heard the mighty rushing wind sound. And not only that the sound, but that sound and the wind filled the room. Now, what wind can do? Tell me. Air can do. Gives you breathing life. If there is no air, you can die, right? So here, this air is not only ordinary air, mighty rushing wind. Now, if you are a farmer, and if you have a crop, and you want to gather the wheat, and what you're looking for? The wind. To what? Let the chaff blow away. So wind can blow the chaff, means a cleansing process.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay? You cannot, if there is no wind and you crush the wheat, all these thorns and thistles are with there. So you have to blow it out, cleanse it. And then he says, wind came and filled the room, and something else happened. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like a fire. You remember what the John the Baptist says? He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Now the Holy Spirit is coming, and coming like a fire. Now, he says the tongue was like what? Cloven tongue. Do you know what cloven tongue means? Cloven tongue means a two tongue. You know, snake has tongue and he has split tongues. Did you anybody see the snake's tongue? He has two tongues. So, but now we are getting the cloven tongue. Okay? So now, snake is a liar, is a deceiver. Two tongues means he takes lie and he tells a little bit truth and a little bit lie. He has two tongues. But once we getting, our tongue is not ordinary tongues. We getting tongues from heaven, and that tongues is of fire. Now what the fire does, do you know? Fire can burn the bad thing, right? And the fire can cleanse too. If you want to purify the gold and silver, you put it in the fire. So the fire purifies. The wind purifies. And so the chaff has to be burned. The sin has to be burned. The tongue came like a fire. Now, somebody says, why fire? It should have come like a ice cold thing, you know, or smooth tongue, but came like a fire. The reason came like a fire, there is a reason. You go to the James chapter 3, and I'll tell you. James chapter 3, start reading from verse 5 to 8, and then you know what the tongue is all about.
Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire.
Tongue is a fire. Okay.
A world of iniquity, so is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell.
Okay, now see here. This tongue, what tongue is this? This tongue is an unsaved man's tongue. This tongue is a fire, and this tongue can set you to hell. So that means each and everyone has a tongue, and each and everyone is ready to go to hell.
That's right.
That tongue will send you to hell.
Right.
Okay, read verse 7.
For every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. The tongue can no man tame.
Yeah.
It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison.
You can tame the lion, tiger, elephant, and everything. You see in circus. All these animals, they listen to man. Even the alligator. But he says, no man has a power to tame the tongue. That means unsaved man can be looking very nice and pious. He becomes angry. All of a sudden, all the fire get loose. Your child can be raised in Christian home and 10 years or 12 years old, never said a bad things, and you punish that child, see what comes out of his mouth. So, no one is able to tame the tongue. And so this is a poison. And as I told you, the cobra snake has poison in his mouth. Okay? And he kills people. So it is deadly poisonous thing, so you can kill people just saying a word. The wound of the tongue doesn't heal. If you stab somebody or cut somebody, that can be healed. If you say something to somebody, that wound stays with them forever. They never forget. Only they can forget when they became born again or put it in the blood and take it out of their memory. Otherwise, that poison is deadly. Because people can dig 50 years thing and tell you, you told me this, or you said this, and you said that, and that stays in their mind. So when I was studying the Word of God, not today, many years ago, and when I studied the book of James, the tongue is a fire, tongue is poison, and no man can able to tame the tongue. That means everybody is going to go to hell. There is no way. There is no religion. In any other religion has the solution to taming the tongue. But the Word of God is. And that's why we read in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit came like a tongue, cloven tongue. And then it came like a fire. Now see what happens. Now just think, this is a fire bulb, 10 volt, burning. You can see it. But now I put the bulb 100,000 watts. Can you see this? No. It disappears because when you have dynamic power, fire, even though this is there, you cannot see it. It's controlled by other light. So when we have the fiery tongue comes from heaven that burns that man's tongue, controls the tongue. That's why if you are angry and you don't know what to do, speak in tongue for half an hour. I guarantee you, you will not do the wrong thing. Speak in tongue and praise God. So that's what this Holy Spirit does. came like a cloven tongue. Now, one cloven tongue means one tongue we talk with God, another tongue we can talk with people. So when people speak in tongue, God speaks to them, and they speak to God according to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2, and then they can prophesy. They can tell people what God is saying. So we are like using one tongue to talk into God, one tongue talking to people. So he's a cloven tongue, and that deadly poisonous tongue can be tamed. No man can tame, but God can.
Yes, sir.
That's what he said. He said, if there is anything impossible with God, no. This is impossible with man to tame the tongue, but it is not with God, right? So God can tame your tongue, so he has to give you another tongue. He has to give you the fiery tongue, so you can control your tongue. So that's why the Holy Spirit is very important for the believers to live a clean life, talking to God, praying to God, and saying the soft word to people. We need our tongue to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. So let's go to the 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2.
For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries.
Now see, some people will tell you, when you're speaking in tongue, we do not understand, so don't speak in tongue. Does Bible say that? No. He said, when you're speaking in tongue, you are not speaking with man. No man can understand, but God can understand. And you're speaking with God, and what you're speaking? You're speaking a mystery. Means God reveals you the mystery, and you're talking to God in your spirit. Sometimes you are bombarded with so many things, you don't know how to pray, you start speaking in tongue, your spirit will start talking to God. If somebody says, you speak in tongue, I don't understand, he says, I'm not talking to you. Why you have to understand in the first place? I'm talking to God. He says, no man. No man means the angel also, they are called men. Do you know? If you read in Acts chapter 1, verse 11, 10 and 11, the angel was standing there when Jesus Christ was lifted up. So who are those people? They said, they're two men. But those were angels. So the angels cannot understand unknown tongue, and devil cannot understand unknown tongue. We were studying the book of Revelation, and 14th chapter, they were singing, the church was singing, and the harper was playing, but no one was able to understand. So that's why it is. We can speak to God in unknown tongue. We speak to God in mystery. No man understands. And somebody says, if you don't understand, why are you speaking it? Example is right there, verse 4. Why you do it?
He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church.
Okay, now somebody says, you speak in tongue, nobody understand, but if you prophesy, whole church can understand. So just prophesy. Sounds good, but he says, if you don't speak with God, how are you going to edify yourself?
Yeah, that's right.
So I have to edify myself. If I am not edified, I am not studying, how can I teach somebody else? So he said, when you're speaking in tongue, you are edifying yourself. You know how to go to college to edify yourself. Start speaking in tongue. God will reveal the scripture you read, maybe 10 years ago, and you forgot them. It will come to your mind. The word of God says, if they drag you to the court, don't practice what you're going to say. He said, the Holy Spirit will give you the right scripture at that time. So when you're talking to somebody and you're afraid to witness and say, I don't know the Bible, don't worry. As long as you read the Bible, the scriptures will come to your mind. Even though you don't know the exact scripture, but you can say the phrases. You can say what the Bible says. If you don't know the words, you can say this is what Bible says. And it will come to you. So here he's saying, If you want to speak in tongues, then you cannot edify yourself. When you edify yourself, then you will be able to prophesy. Then you will be able to talk to somebody. He said, if you want to know what you're speaking, then you pray. God will reveal to you what you were saying to God and what God was saying to you. And when you're talking to somebody, that's called prophecy. Or preaching is a prophecy. So prophecy and preaching will not come until you edify yourself. Now there was a man, he was highly educated, and he was a preacher and a pastor. And two of our church members went to him. This is in India. And they asked him a question. Sir, did you receive the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongue? He said, I received the Holy Spirit. He said, what is your experience? When did you receive it? How did you receive it? And what is your personal experience when you received it? He had no answer. What is they saying? When I'm born again, I got the Holy Spirit. That's the kind of teaching they are. So he got so mad, he pushed them out, get out of my house, locked the door, sat on his bed, and started praying. He said, Lord, I never asked you, Holy Spirit. I have no answer to these people how to say when I received it, what is my experience. I need that Holy Spirit. And he started praying. 3 days, didn't eat anything, and kept on praying. And he received the Holy Spirit. He started speaking in tongues. 3 days later, those same people came to, you know, encourage him. And he comes and opens the door and starts speaking in tongues with them. So, you know, once you start speaking in one language and you meet another person, and even though he doesn't know the language, you'll speak with him in the same language. Like you speaking in Spanish or over the phone, and somebody, English-speaking person, come, you start speaking Spanish. Say, I'm sorry, I was speaking in Spanish, and that's what is in my mind. So that's what happened. That man starts speaking in tongue. And then he let them come in and said, this is my experience. Since you people went, I prayed to God 3 days and three nights, and here I am speaking in tongues. So this is what happens. Okay, so what we are learning, when you receive the Holy Spirit, even the evidence of speaking in tongues, there's a cleansing power. So, and the fire is a cleansing power. We are going to learn, fire is not only with our known tongue, fire is also called trials, and testing is the fire. That we're going to learn next time. But here we are learning the Holy Spirit has a part to sanctify you and cleanse you. Let's go to the book of Acts chapter 11 and start reading from verse 15, or just say 15 to 18. Or now I'll give you a little bit background. You know Peter. Peter were Jewish, and all the Jewish Christians, they consider Gentiles as a sinners, a low caste, untouchable. They don't want any association with them. And God wants to teach a lesson to Peter. And that's in the chapter 10. But now, after this thing happened, and Cornelius' family got saved and baptized, now Peter goes to Jerusalem. And those people start asking the question, why did you baptize Gentiles? And look at his answer. Let's read verse 15.
And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them, as on us at the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us, who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life.
Now they say, oh, God did the work.
Yes, sir.
Now these people got repentance, means they repented. Repentance means what? Turning to God. Changing their mind to give up their idols and give up their sinful activity. And now they became just like us. Saint Peter says, we received the Holy Spirit when we believed. These people received the Holy Spirit when they believed. That means now they are sanctified just like you and me. There is no difference untouchable or unsaved or unholy people. When God put the Holy Spirit in them, that means God cannot sanctify the people without their holy. Holy means without they are born again. Once you receive Jesus Christ, you are already sanctified. Then you receive the Holy Spirit. So he says they heard the word and they got repentance. They got eternal life. Top of that, God filled them with the Holy Spirit. How can I stop God, what God is doing? He says God is gracious to those people and he is gracious to us. God is doing these things. Let's read the Acts chapter 15. This is the second time the church is questioning about Gentiles. And that time, Paul and Barnabas goes and they start telling, why you allowing Gentiles to come and you people mingling with Gentiles? So Peter gives the same example again. Let's read, starting with verse 7 to 11. Acts chapter 15, verses 7 to 11.
And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us, that the Gentiles, by my mouth, should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. Put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith.
Purifying their hearts by faith. We learned last week that purification happens by faith. But now he says their hearts are purified by faith, but at the same time they receive the Holy Spirit, so the purification is happened. Now there is no difference between Gentiles and Jewish. They are all just like us. That's what he's trying to say. Okay, keep on reading.
Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they.
So he's saying there is no difference between Jews and Gentiles. That's why he says the Spirit makes us one. Now there are so many denominations. Say, let's bring all the denomination together. And what if there is a name? Economical or whatever. So they are saying, bring all the denomination together. And that will be great. This is the will of God. No. You bring Salvation Army. You bring Methodist. You bring Pentecostal and Baptist together. And you make a one church. Is that a church? No. Because the Salvation Army doesn't believe in water baptism. They don't take the communion. Methodist and Presbyterian, they don't take the immersion baptism. They just sprinkle. Baptists, they are against Holy Spirit and they're against speaking in tongue. How can we together be one church? Only way it can happen, everybody fills with the Holy Spirit. And everybody starts speaking in tongue. Then we have one common ground. So that's why he says he said, now these Gentiles and we, by faith, we purified. Now we and Gentiles, we are the same. We are one in the Spirit. You remember we say we are one in the Spirit. We sing the song. Yeah. So we can be one in the Spirit. But if somebody doesn't want that Spirit, Spirit will not come. If the Salvation Army says, okay, I want the Spirit. And let's pray for me. First of all, I say, sir, you want the Holy Spirit? Be born again and take baptism. Then the Holy Spirit will come. If you are rebellious against baptism, rebellious against taking the communion, Holy Spirit is not going to come on you. The same way, Methodist or any other denomination. I want Holy Spirit. You cannot get Holy Spirit until you repent and until you take the right baptism, Holy Spirit is not going to come. And somebody says, Cornelius people, they didn't take the baptism. How they receive the Holy Spirit? They receive the word. They had the faith. And when they receive the Holy Spirit, then they were baptized. So it is very important. Holy Spirit cleanses us and keeps us holy, because the Holy Spirit is only one can unite us and keep us clean and keep us ready, keep us united with God, with one mind and one accord. When you're speaking with God, you speak mystery. You speak to God. Your mind doesn't know what to do, that the Spirit will speak through you. We read in the book of Romans, chapter 8. But now, let's read the final last verse. Time is going. I'm going to finish before it. Romans chapter 15, verse 16. And this will be clearly, you will know.
That I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost.
Being sanctified by the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
So, Gentiles, Jewish, Christian, or anyone, once you receive the Holy Spirit, you are sanctified. But he says, not already sanctified, being sanctified. What does it mean? Keep on sanctifying. Keep on making you holy. So, what he's trying to say? Gentiles might be acceptable being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. So now you know, there is a sanctification by what? Holy Spirit. Sanctification by the Word of God. Sanctification by faith, sanctification by the blood of Jesus Christ, sanctification by the water, that means baptism, and sanctification by the Holy Spirit. Now we studied five things. So we are going to pray. Shall we rise? Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Thank you, Lord, for giving us grace to study your word. Thank you for the Holy Spirit you have given to us, so we can control the fleshly, poisonous tongue. And we can praise God and glorify your name. And we can sanctify and being sanctified every day by the Holy Spirit. Because Holy Spirit will keep us holy and acceptable unto God. So Lord Jesus, give us grace. And there are so many people, they are against Holy Spirit. They are against the born-again experience. And they are against spiritual matters. We pray that Holy Spirit will convince them, convict them about sin, convict them about judgment, and convict them about the spiritual life. We commit ourselves into a loving hand. Be with us, sanctify us, and use us more and more for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please be seated.